Jesus was once at a dinner party with a bunch of religious people, with some scribes and Pharisees. And that party was interrupted by a woman from the streets coming in and making a scene, in that she went over to Jesus and anointed his feet with some perfume. And it really unsettled the host and the guests. And Jesus paused the moment to tell a story. He told a story about two debtors. One owed a debt, and they both owed it to the same person. One owed a debt of a sum. The other owed a debt that was 10 times that sum. And Jesus told the story and said the man to whom they owed the debt forgave both of them. And then he asked the question, a little bit strange when you're talking about owing money, but he said, which one loved him more? Which one was more grateful, more thankful? And they all said, well, the one who owed the larger debt was more thankful. And then Jesus turned to the woman and said, she who has been forgiven much is full of love and gratitude. I share that story because today we're going to talk about the good news given through the prophets to God's people who were in exile. And it was specifically that context of being in the exile, in such great loss and suffering and need, that made the good news so good and so sweet. Before we get to that, I want to remind you of what we've covered. We're in the first half of the summer, is the Old Testament in seven sentences. We're to sentence number six today. We've talked about creation and why we're here, how we got here, God's purpose in creating us, and we also, that led us into the big problem of sin and disobedience, the fall that separated us from God. We looked at the story of Abraham and God's movement toward us to solve, to address that problem of sin, and God pledging himself, his name, his reputation, to heal, to restore, to redeem humanity and the earth and the nations, all through this promised Abraham and his children. We looked at the story of Exodus, third, a picture, a demonstration on earth of God's salvation, God's deliverance from slavery and oppression to lead his people to that promised land. We looked at the story of David, the king, the shepherd king, and how God built on the promises to Abraham and made kind of re-upped with David. And in addition to the promise of blessing to be, blessing Abraham's children and David's people to be a blessing to the world, he promised David that one of his line would sit on the throne, would rule, and his kingdom would be forever. And we talked about the connection from that over to Jesus as king. And then last week we began to look at the prophets. We're going to look at them a little bit more today. The prophets had a twofold message. They were sent in and around that time of exile to call God's people back to faithfulness. That was part one of their message. And so last week we looked at Micah and his definition of what the Lord desires from us, requires from us, kindness, justice, humility. The prophets were sent with that tough message of saying, you've turned again and again from the Lord, come back, be faithful to God. Today, though, we're going to look at the other part of that twofold message from the prophets, which was a message of comfort to those who had experienced that distance from God that was a consequence of their disobedience. It was spoken into those questions of God, where are you now? And was a message of hope and good news. So our verse for today is Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good news. And we're going to talk about good news. So let me say a word about exile, just to set the context. Because as Jesus demonstrated in that story he told, the degree to which we can feel and be thankful often corresponds to the degree to which we have been forgiven or relieved or suffered and then been delivered. And God's people during this extended hundreds of years of the prophets had lost much. The exile, while it stretched for several hundred years, involved losing the land, having Jerusalem taken, having the temple destroyed. And because God was understood to be in that holy place, the sense was God has been taken from us. And then the people, God's people, were taken out of the land into captivity, into slavery in Babylon. And it was all tied to unfaithfulness and disobedience and the consequence of their actions. And so maybe we can't imagine, but try to imagine the sense of desperation, of lostness, that we have blown it so badly that God has abandoned us. So we've already talked last week about the challenge to be faithful to God, to return to obedience, to experience God's blessing. Today, Isaiah and other prophets, all the prophets, remind God's people who are in exile, who are cut off, feeling cut off, that God does love them. God is faithful even when they have been unfaithful. So Isaiah in particular, and you could track these two themes through all the prophets, but in Isaiah in particular, he lifts up two images that are images of comfort, of good news. One is the Messiah King. We made that connection from the promises to David to this eternal kingdom, this future son of David that we saw was in Jesus. Isaiah talks about him, and Isaiah speaks of this one also as the suffering servant. The suffering servant. And here's what's so powerful about that image. It's one thing to pin our hopes to a triumphant returning king who's going to make everything right. But in the moments of exile, when everything seemed lost, right, when God's people were suffering and hurting and desperate and despairing, to hear God's Savior depicted as one who suffers with them, who knows what it's like to be despised, to be shamed, to be abandoned, who nonetheless God sends as a servant to his people and to the world. That message of coming alongside with and experiencing the suffering was part of that needed good news. The other aspect of Isaiah's prophecy and all of the others really were that they were multi-layered. They were a message to God's people in, 600 BC for their present. God sees you. God hears you. God will deliver you. God is present with you, even here in exile. We've looked before at Jeremiah 29, which speaks of the plans God has for you out in the future, but we've seen God's instructions to thrive where they are because God is with them. So part one of the prophet's message was one of present hope and good news. But part two of the prophet's message was this work that God would do, this deliverance, this salvation, the suffering servant of Isaiah, the Messiah King, who would come in the future and set things right and deliver God's people and rescue humanity and the world and the nations. We recognize as believers that Jesus Christ is that Messiah King, and that suffering servant that God promised through Isaiah and through the other prophets. And Jesus himself and those who wrote about him made those connections that when Jesus was struck and crucified and mocked, that he was that servant and savior to the world. There's a third layer, though, to those prophets, those prophecies. Not only did they speak to God's people in the centuries before Jesus, Not only did they look ahead to what Jesus would do, what God would accomplish through him in announcing his kingdom, but they looked far, far ahead to a future, right, to the end, when God would make all things right. And that's a future to which we still look in faith and in hope. In Romans, we heard that passage today, the Apostle Paul draws on our Old Testament readings on Isaiah, and he speaks of how beautiful are the feet, I'm sorry, from the Psalms. How beautiful are the feet who bring good news. And he says the word, the promise, the hope, the good news of God is near us, right? It's in our mouth. It's in our heart. But how will people know if we don't bear the news to them? I think about the exile. And on the one hand, I think, well, I have no idea what that was like. I have grown up comfortable, both in my life and in my Christianity. It has not been challenged to the degree that I've lost everything, lost the place of worship, home, family, seemingly God, taken into captivity. But I think in these days, with COVID and with the awareness of racial injustice, with all that's swirling in our world right now, we perhaps have more of a glimpse into that vital and desperate need for good news, right, that God's people in exile experienced. We need a word of hope. We need to be reminded that even when we are unfaithful, God is faithful and God is good, right? We've been shut away, quarantined, not able to see friends and family the way that we would like. We're still trying to figure out church and school and everything else. And God says to us, I see you. I hear you. I have not forsaken you. I love you. And in Jesus, that suffering servant and that shepherd king, we read of one who knows what it is to suffer, who knows what it is to suffer isolation, to be cut off from friends and family, one who knows what it is to be tested and tried, one who knows every aspect of the human condition, right, who has suffered with us and for us. And yet he also is the hope of the world. He is the good news that we long to hear. So in Romans 10, when Paul reminds us that God's word, Jesus himself, God's spirit is near us, is with us, is in us, but he reminds us, how will the world know if we don't tell them, if we don't share it? There is that invitation, right, that opportunity to take part in that grand plan that God is accomplishing to redeem, to restore, to heal humanity and the nations and the world. And that invitation is for us, for you and for me, for the church. My prayer for each of us is that God will not only give us opportunity to take part in bearing the good news, but God will give us a voice and a passion to do so. Think about the conversations you'll have this week, perhaps on the phone, maybe some in person. Maybe you could check in on somebody. Certainly those of you who go online, every interaction we have is an opportunity to decide, am I going to just take part in the stirring of the pot that's going on right now that continues to ramp up anxiety and fear and discouragement? Will I be described as those beautiful feet who bring a reminder of God's faithfulness and God's goodness, of the hope of the world that is Jesus Christ? Will I bear that good news into the world in which I live? That is both our challenge as Christians and the gift that we have to share with the world. And I can promise you, just as in the days of the exile, our world, and especially our country, with COVID and with everything else, we need to hear that good news. And my thought is, ears and hearts are ready to hear it. So may God give us opportunity, give us voice, give us wisdom and courage this day and in the days to come. Amen.